The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel Brewers podcast joins you in the midst of the coldest days of our lifetime. Todd Rosiak of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Milwaukee Brewers beat reporter on the other line. Todd, how are you staying warm? I'm picturing you surrounded by blankets. Maybe your cats are roaming around. What's the situation over at Casa de Rosiak?
For the first time ever, I'm actually looking forward to going to spring training. So hopefully the weather will be a little bit more cooperative than it was last year. The first 3 weeks, it was pretty chilly by Arizona standards for the first half. But hey, anything is better than what we're going through right now, that's for sure.
The Brewers tried to warm things up with the Brewers on Deck sold-out event at the Wisconsin Center in downtown Milwaukee over the weekend. And there were some interesting tidbits, and I want to talk about a few of them. I want to start with Jimmy Nelson, because he's kind of the topic that that I think most people were interested in coming out of On Deck. You had a long conversation with him. He's obviously coming off an injury, missed all of the 2018 season with a shoulder injury. He is supposedly back on track, and he feels very strongly that he can be in the mix to make this team right from the get-go, and in fact shared with you that he thought he could be opening day starter, which is quite the boost, you know, a sign of confidence, but also a leap from, I think, where we thought he was. I know that some of the other personnel, Brewers personnel, downplayed that possibility a little bit, but did that surprise you to hear him say that? I mean, was that just him being confident, or do you really think Jimmy Nelson could, I mean, maybe not opening day starter, but seriously make a push to be a starter on opening day?
Did it surprise me? Yes and no. I mean, yes, that he actually was, you know, came right out and said it, but no, from the standpoint that anybody who has followed Jimmy Nelson's career knows that this guy is as prepared and as motivated as any professional athlete out there in any sport. You know, he goes above and beyond in everything that he does and attacks goals and attacks challenges on a daily basis. So for him, I think this is a matter of, you know, he is feeling as good as he has, as well as he has since he had the surgery. And he finally sees the light at the end of the tunnel after, you know, over a season of monotonous, you know, hour after hour rehab and, you know, basically working out on your own, even though you're around the team during the season, it still is an individual program. And you know, just going through this daunting process, I think he sees the light at the end of the tunnel. And is excited, and rightfully so, with spring training just around the corner, that he's going to be able to, you know, come in there with the bubble wrap taken off of him, so to speak. And he's going to be allowed to obviously not go crazy, but he's going to be able to try to compete for a spot on the opening day roster. And that's something he just wasn't able to do last year. And he's anxious to get going. So, you know, for the year plus that he's gone through this rehab process, it's been an arduous path to get to this point, and he's done everything and more to get to this point. So I give him credit for shooting for the moon. You know, is it realistic or not that he's going to be able to make the opening day roster? I don't know. We'll see. You know, maybe he starts day one and has no hiccups and no bumps in the road and just, you know, continues through spring training and really gives the team something to think about. On the other hand, the Brewers' brain trust is not going to be pushing him in the least. You know, they're going to be listening to him. And as Craig Counsell said, when we talked to him, they're going to serve as kind of his governor, so to speak, and, you know, try to keep him on track and not let him get too carried away, you know, if he starts experiencing some soreness or something like that. So the Brewers are certainly mindful that it's been, you know, since September of 2017 that he's pitched competitively in a game. So another few weeks out of spring training or a month or 6 weeks or whatever it takes to get him fully rehabbed and healthy and prepared mentally and physically, they're going to give him all the time that he needs. But kudos to him for getting to this point, and that just adds another talented arm to what's already a pretty deep position on the team.
I strongly encourage you to read Todd's story with Jimmy on jsonline.com. He also posted something on Instagram the following day about his wife, Melissa, who's pregnant with their unborn twins, and they underwent a medical procedure to try to save the twins from kind of a strange medical condition. You can read about that at jsonline.com as well. It's been a tough, you know, 16 months for that guy, and I know Brewers fans are happy to see him get back on the field, and he, I'm sure, is as well, ready to finally, you know, be contributing on a regular basis. Before we move out of the on-deck experience, was there anything else that struck you about the day? We talked to a lot of players. Certainly one of the storylines was Christian Yelich coming in as MVP and the whirlwind offseason that he's had. He, in fact, was in New York the night before, the Saturday night before, to accept his MVP award, and then flew in for Sunday's on-deck event. So I know there was a lot of talk about limiting him a little bit now going forward, giving him some relaxation so that he could be rested for the 2019 season. But maybe it's him or maybe it's something else. What else stood out to you from all that you saw at on deck?
I mean, honestly, I was, as you know, as you saw, we spend most of our time down on the floor beneath the actual convention, you know, interviewing players and doing transcribing and actually writing and stuff. So it was just kind of, it's pretty much a whirlwind. It's a very fast 10, 12 hour day or whatever it is every time we do it, because, you know, we're just kind of holed up doing all that stuff. But, you know, I think a lot of the questions were centered around, you know, can Christian Yelich come in and repeat what he did last year as MVP? Are the Brewers motivated, you know, this year? Obviously, the Central Division is going to be much more competitive, at least on paper, with the Cardinals and the Reds both really improving themselves in the offseason. You know, storylines like that, and the players that I heard from and the players that I talked to, you know, nobody's really shrinking away from the expectations. I think people are excited, players are excited, the brass is excited to get going and to see what's in store. Obviously, pretty much all the key players from last year's team come back. They add a very big piece behind the plate in Yasmani Grandal. I don't think anybody foresaw that going into the offseason. So to add another terrific defensive player, the playoff struggles notwithstanding, and also a power bat, left-handed power bat behind the plate to kind of lengthen that lineup out is I don't think can be understated for the Brewers. So, you know, I think over the next 2 weeks, we're going to be looking at maybe, you know, buttoning up a few other areas. Craig Counsell said he looks at second base right now as a platoon situation with the players that they have on hand, Corey Spangenberg, Hernan Perez, and Tyler Saladino. But who knows? I mean, maybe they kick the tires on a guy like Josh Harrison, who's really kind of the last name guy out there. And also, you know, Wade Miley's still out there. You know, there's still a number of really talented players that don't have jobs yet, and maybe the Brewers can get one or two of those guys on the cheap and go into the season with a couple more guys that we didn't really expect to be on the roster. So a lot of things yet to shake out here in the next couple of weeks, and it should be interesting to see what they wind up all reporting with on February 13th for pitchers and catchers.
Yeah, you mentioned the Reds, and what a crazy offseason they've had. They've acquired, among others, Tanner Roark, Yasiel Puig, Matt Kemp, Alex Wood, Sonny Gray. They just they acquired from the Yankees, and a lot of discussion now that they could be going after JT Realmuto, the Marlins catcher, who's kind of one of the biggest prizes in the trade market right now. The Brewers have been lightly linked last couple days to Dallas Keuchel, the former Cy Young Award winner, who most recently was with the Houston Astros, part of a championship team in Houston, and he's a left-hander who's one of those guys that you would have expected to be signed if this were maybe 4 years ago, but in the current, the way the market has shaped up, a guy like him is still out there, a veteran pitcher, and the Brewers, I guess, could be somebody who makes a play for that. That made a lot more sense to me than the Madison Bumgarner rumors that we heard earlier in this offseason. Do you think the Brewers would still make a play for a starting pitcher? There was kind of thought that maybe that ship had sailed, that they were kind of settled with what they had, but I think a Keuchel signing would kind of make sense. Does it make sense to you, or is it something that's probably not going to happen for Milwaukee?
I don't know. I'm sure David Stearns, as we know, he kicks the tires on pretty much everybody out there to see what the possibilities are. But even in this depressed market, I don't see a situation where the Brewers are going to be able to get a guy like Keuchel for a song. You know, I'm guessing what's going to wind up happening is he'll sign a 2 or 3 year deal with a decent annual average salary. To me, I mentioned it before, Wade Miley would make much more sense. I'm sure the Brewers would be able to get him for a much more affordable price. Miley, by all accounts, liked it in Milwaukee and enjoyed his time with the Brewers. And I think he appreciates the patience and the faith that they showed in him battling back from those injuries that he had, especially the one in spring training or last year, right before he was set to lock down a spot in the rotation. So to me, again, nothing would surprise me with David Stearns if all of a sudden they came out of the woodwork in a few days and, hey, we signed Dallas Keuchel, great. But to me, I think it's more likely at this point that, you know, the additions that the Brewers make right now are kind of those under the radar guys, or, you know, the guys who aren't going to get the, you know, the huge headlines that, you know, the Keuchels of the world necessarily would.
A couple other stories bubbling up before the On Deck event. The biggest, of course, the name change to Miller Park, and we'll discuss that in a minute. But the other story is David Stearns, the Brewers general manager, who is obviously showered with a lot of praise, rightfully, for building this Brewers franchise into a playoff contender in a short period of time. He was promoted to president of baseball operations. The team also promoted Rick Schlesinger to president of business operations. Those two are big fixtures in the front office of the Milwaukee Brewers and obviously have a lot to do with the success. Seems to me, my read on this is pretty simple, that David Stearns was promoted in pretty much name only as a means of keeping him from getting a better title and more pay somewhere else, and he's going to be doing pretty much the exact same tasks he was before, but just in a slightly higher paperwork capacity. Is that your reading as well, or is it more to it? Is there more responsibility that comes with this job title?
Yeah, I would assume the title and the increase in pay are the two big things. You know, David Stearns' role, I don't think from a day-to-day perspective, is really going to change. He was, you know, the overseer basically of all baseball operations before. So now I just kind of have made it official, I guess, with the title. And Tom and I were talking on Sunday at On Deck about how we're going to refer to him in all our stories, because how many times do we write a year, you know, Brewers general manager David Stearns? So do we make it president of baseball operations and general manager David Stearns? And Tom has decreed that we're just going to call him president of baseball operations now. So just for ease, I think everybody knows that the managership goes with that. So, you know, I think it was crossing the T's and dotting the I's and taking care of somebody who obviously has had as much to do with the resurgence as anybody, and probably more so than anybody that's not playing the game. You can't understate what he's done since he's taken over the Brewers in that GM role and in that president of baseball operations role. And obviously he's a highly thought of commodity throughout baseball. So, you know, Brewers fans can rest assured now for the next several years that David Stearns is under wraps, and he will continue to do what he's been doing, which is making the Brewers a highly competitive team in a highly competitive division.
The name change obviously had a lot of people up in arms when the Brewers announced that they had entered a partnership with American Family Insurance to be title naming sponsor of the ballpark in which the Brewers play, heretofore Miller Park. It will still be Miller Park for the next two seasons. Lots of time to get used to a new name change. We don't know exactly what the stadium is going to be called. I think it's probably going to be something, some variation of American Family Insurance Field or something along those lines. A lot of people were wringing their hands about that. Tom Hodricourt on JSOnline.com wrote a pretty good breakdown that ran, was on the site by Wednesday morning, that sort of explained, like, this was kind of on Miller's end, too. Miller wasn't interested in continuing to pay, whether it's because of their own economic situation or just that wasn't something they were interested in anymore. But it wasn't as if this was some power grab whatever fans are looking at it, not power grab, but money grab as a means of changing the name. What did you think about it when you first heard that Miller Park was no longer going to be Miller Park? What was your first reaction? Do you kind of see where fans are coming from, or did you figure right up the front, this is just a business transaction?
Now you're going to get your favorite version of Todd. You're going to get Grumpy Todd here.
I love Grumpy Todd. He is my favorite.
Who cares? Why do people get so bent out of shape? It's a name. I mean, really, get a grip, people. This is why don't people focus on the fact that the Brewers finished one game away from the World Series last year? They just signed Yasmani Grandal. They have a terrific team coming back. The reigning NL MVP. This is not the late 80s. This is not the 90s. This is not the early 2000s where there was just no hope before the season even started. There is so much to look forward to in the coming years for Brewers fans. And this is what people are getting all bent out of shape about and caught up on. I don't get it. I mean, as you mentioned, Tom had a terrific breakdown of how it all transpired. Bottom line is Miller did not want to step up and pay the money that it was going to cost the sponsor. So what do? You make the prudent business decision to move to the next organization that wants to do it. American Family is a Wisconsin-based large corporation that has ties throughout the state. They're already sponsoring the big stage at Summerfest. They expressed interest in doing it. They stepped up to the table. They ponied up, and they're paying for it. So it is what it is now. You know, two more years of Miller Park, and then we move on to whatever it's going to be named in the future. It's going to be the same ballpark. David Stearns is still going to be running the team. Christian Yelich is probably still going to be in right field or somewhere in the outfield at that point. The Brewers, you know, by all accounts, health-wise, you don't know what kind of moves are going to be made, but you figure they're still going to be competitive. I don't get it. I don't get all the teeth gnashing and the hand-wringing and everything like that. I don't get it. So, yeah, Grumpy Todd came out. I'm sorry. Maybe that's not the answer you wanted, but I don't care. The only thing I care about is it's going to be much longer typing it out every time when I cover a game there, calling it American Family Insurance Park or whatever it's going to be. Miller Park was short and sweet and easy, but also covering UW-Milwaukee basketball in the offseason, it tends to get a little redundant when I'm typing out UW-Milwaukee Panther Arena after I just typed out UW-Milwaukee Panthers one sentence earlier. So that's just the little things that us journalists have to deal with. As fans, just move on. Be happy you have a good team.
Yes, Grumpy Todd will certainly be there in 2021 and beyond as well, I'm sure. I would argue, I guess just because the name Miller means more to people than just the baseball team. It's sort of inextricably linked to Milwaukee, and it's the, I don't know, it's the thing people think about when they're proud of Milwaukee is beer. So I guess I can understand that
I get that, but it's like, I get that, but this is not Miller anymore. This is not the, you know, the Milwaukee Brewery. This is Miller Coors. This is a place that this is a corporation that's based in Chicago now. This is not the, you know, the homespun hometown brewery that it once was. So, you know, I get the fierce loyalty and the hometown angle and all that stuff, but the money talks. You know, this is a gigantic corporation that no longer really has deep, deep ties to Milwaukee. So people shouldn't be surprised. There's still going to be Miller beer at the ballpark. That's been made abundantly clear. That's what people should probably really be excited about and happy with, if nothing else. So again, move past the name change and focus on what's really important, which is going to be a lot more money from American Family Insurance in the Brewers' coffers to further their competitive drive and further their competitive efforts. You know, look at the money that the Brewers put into Merrivale. We'll be down there in 2 weeks, and we'll be seeing the fruits of the labors of the last year, what they've been able to do, $60 million into a facility down there. That extra money that the Brewers are going to be getting from this naming rights deal, that's the kind of things those are the kind of things that the Brewers are going to be able to do more frequently now. They reinvest in the product. It's not necessarily things that you're going to see, but rest assured, this is money that's going back into the organization to better the product on the field, to make you as fans happier.
Again, Tom's piece at jsonline.com kind of puts things into focus. I mean, even if your first reaction was to bristle at the idea of a name change, you kind of I think we're sort of seeing the dawning on people of what exactly is going on, what's happening, and that this is not as dire a takeover or anything like that people thought it was. So let's talk just briefly a little bit more about what's on the field. We mentioned what the Reds are doing this offseason. The Cubs are still the Cubs, even though they haven't been very active, and the Cardinals have added a couple huge pieces in Paul Goldschmidt and Andrew Miller. I mean, the Pirates have probably the best pitching staff, I think you could say, in the division. Coming into the offseason, they already had that. So this is going to be a really tough division this year. If you look at Fangraph's projections, and this made a little bit of a ripple of interest amongst Brewers Twitter, that Brewers are picked to finish last by those metrics. I know you could take projections and throw them out the window pretty much anytime you see them, but it is interesting to note that, you know, this math doesn't think the Brewers are necessarily going to be a playoff team again. At the very least, it makes me pause and wonder, I mean, are they actually going to struggle to get back to where they were? They did get a lot of lucky breaks last year. They were relatively healthy. They won 96 games, which is a lot, but, you know, a lot of things had to go right. What is your thought as you look at this division? I mean, are the Brewers, do you see them as a for sure playoff contender, or is it possible that the division's going to rise up and leave the Brewers behind?
Do I think that those projections are laughable? Yeah, I do. You know, obviously it is just kind of speculation, your numbers, and you're trying to look forward. You know, Tom and I put our names next to our predictions every year in our opening day section. And, you know, some years they're not very good and some years we're right on. So we're not using the scientific methods that FanGraphs is or all these other sabermetric sites are using. But to me, 96 wins, you know, like you mentioned, a lot went right. They had a lot of good luck. They had a lot of good for the most part last year. That winning streak at the end of the season was incredible. Everything kind of fell into place. It was just one of those years. Do I see the Brewers winning 96 games this year? Probably not. To me, just so much of what happens on a year-to-year basis depends on health and, you know, avoiding injuries to key players. You know, the Brewers were very fortunate in that realm last year. Christian Yelich missed a few games early with the oblique, but was back pretty quickly. Lorenzo Cain missed a few games over the course of the season, but still, off the top of my head, I want to say he played 140-plus. You know, Jesus Aguilar stepped right in when Eric Thames got hurt early in the season, became an all-star. So, you know, key guys at key positions played almost the entire season or the entire season and were very productive. Pitching was a little bit different situation, but the Brewers had guys step up and fill those slots when guys like Zach Davies went down, when Brent Suter went down, things like that. So much has to go right. And so much of it is based on health. I think that that's going to be the biggest thing. If the Brewers can stay largely healthy, keep their key guys on the field as much as possible, I don't see why they can't, again, compete for the Central Division title. The Cubs did not do a whole lot to improve themselves this offseason, and they've got a gigantic payroll. The Cardinals obviously made some moves. The Reds made some moves, like you noted. They're going to be better, and I would think that the Cardinals especially are going to be motivated after the last couple years, what's happened with them. They feel like they need to be back in the mix. And, you know, the Reds, obviously, I think they're still a little bit shy on pitching, but offensively, they should be as good as any team in the National League. And then you mentioned the Pirates, too. Their pitching is always really good. This is the question. But, you know, from top to bottom, it's going to be a tough division, I think, and it's going to be fun to watch how it all plays out.
He is Todd Rosiak, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel beat reporter, covering your Milwaukee Brewers and your University of Milwaukee Panthers, for that matter. The NCAA tournament is approaching after all. Maybe the Panthers can surprise us all, make a run in the Horizon League tournament. Todd will be there for that. And then, well, maybe not, because by February 13th, he will be in Arizona at the new facilities where the Brewers will be training, preparing for the 2019 season. Todd, stay warm. I'm picturing you just huddled up on your, on your Lazy Boy or whatever it is, just surrounded by blankets. Thanks for joining us, and we will see you again very soon.
Okay, JR, take care.